Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Hello, hauntlings. My name is Alyssa.
And I'm Lindsay.
We're Macabre Midnight, minus the RE.
Join us every week as we discuss and rate anything that fits on our scale of screams.
We like to talk about creepy things, and we want to share them with you. Sometimes it's the paranormal.
Like ghosts or aliens or a cryptid or two.
Sometimes it's just a twisted turn in history. True crime, fact or fiction, the works.
Nope, don't like that.
So if you're a prideful weirdo like us, and you're interested in things that tend to be a little macabre,
this time with the RE,
then check us out wherever you listen to your podcasts, and we will see you
in your nightmares.
All right, I think I hacked in. We're on the air? Shh, security's outside. But how's my hair? It's a radio station. Psst, psst. You guys hear about the Beyond the Shadows podcast with Ryan and Scott? You guys into paranormal? What about true crime? How about UFOs and cryptids? We also have mad hauntings. We got security.
No, we don't. We're not big enough to need it yet.
No, we got security.
Hey, what are you guys doing? Get out of here! Listen to the Beyond the Shadows podcast.
Beyond the Shadows! Worth it.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. So excited that you're here. How are you doing today, Declan?
I could be better, but yeah, I cut part of my finger off last night. So yeah, that's been fun. But
you're a trooper for sitting in and going over this. You'll be fine. I believe. What story are you going to tell us today?
I'm going to be talking about the Warwick Slasher.
Oh, I don't think I know that name.
It's a pretty
interesting
story.
It doesn't sound good.
No, it's not good.
All right. Well, I'm going to be telling a weird, unknown story. It's a bizarre one for sure. So the drink that I brought to go with this weird, bizarre story, it's called On the Blob Drink. It is a dash of lemon juice, 1 ounce of amaretto, 1 ounce of raspberry vodka, 1 ounce of strawberry syrup. The steps are to add all ingredients to a cocktail shaker with ice, shake well, then strain into a cocktail glass over ice. So,
nice.
Are you ready to give it a shot?
I didn't make one because
your finger
bleeding. I don't want to make the bleeding worse.
Okay, so the drink is red. You could have bled in the drink and no one would have known. You would have tasted it, but I mean, it's your own blood, not somebody else's. I know, gross.
I'll do a fake drink.
Okay.
Mm.
It kind of tastes like strawberry Kool-Aid.
Really? I would have thought with the amaretto in there would have been weird, but
no, the amaretto like disappears with, because amaretto's just sweet, and with the strawberry syrup it's just sweet. It legit tastes like Kool-Aid. I don't taste any alcohol in this at all, which is very
terrifying. Do you use the Stoli for the vodka in there?
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah, because I can't drink any other raspberry or flavored vodka now because it all tastes gross compared to the Stoli, which is like so smooth and easy and yummy going down, and the other stuff kind of tastes like rocket fuel to me. So Yeah, I use the Stoli. I've got a couple bottles of it. I keep buying more when I go back to the store because I'm like, ooh, I better get some of that. I think I'm going to run out. And then I realize that I have like three partial bottles and now a full one. So I have a little bit of the raspberry Stoli. So the story that I have to go with this is about blobs, which is why I chose the drink on the blob. And well, it's hard to explain, so I'm just going to tell you the story. Okay. Washington State is well known for rain, so when it rains there, it's not particularly surprising for the residents. I think we've been to, you know, it's kind of like the center of Oregon along the I-5 where it just rains a lot and it's wet, and people just get used to it. Same thing with Washington State. It's rainy. When the liquid falling from the sky is unusual, though, people definitely take notice. And when I say unusual, it's not just like sleet or something. This is weird. So in August 1994, the rain didn't surprise anyone in the small town of Oakville, Washington, until people started noticing that the rain was not your usual moisture falling from the sky. Residents of Oakville reported small, gooey blobs falling from the sky instead of water. Weird.
That's super weird.
Described as gloopy, translucent, gelatinous blobs about the size of a grain of rice that covered everything. A local police officer compared the mystery substance to Jell-O and said that he was sitting in his patrol car when it started falling from the sky, and he used his windshield wipers to try and clear the rain off because he just thought it was rain at first. And it started to smear to the point where he couldn't see out of the windshield. So it's just this gooey, jello-y rice all over his car. He pulled over to clear the windshield and found that his entire car was covered in this strange, gooey substance.
Weird.
It is weird, and it would be so gross. I mean,
yeah.
I hate
Plus
it
we don't
when
know
a...
what it is.
Right. Like, I'm sure you've probably been driving and a bird has pooped on the windshield and you're like, man, and it takes, sometimes it doesn't clean off and you have to like get water and clean it out and then you still have that weird, schmeary, gross stuff. So I can't even imagine. The substance had consistency and didn't immediately spread out. An area resident said the blobs were more solid than rain as it appeared like hail when it was sitting on a top of a box, but it wasn't solid and could be squished between your fingers. So like outside, like a gardening box, there were these little gooey pellets everywhere that you could squish with your fingers, but if you didn't squish it, it just sat there. Didn't dissolve, didn't like go anywhere. So it's not like hail that looks like a solid piece of ice. This was like translucent and gooey like Jell-O. For a period of 3 weeks, the mysterious blobs rained down from the sky five more times. This occurred in an area about 20 square miles. The appearance of this mysterious substance is definitely bizarre and curious. But what is also strange about these incidents is the unusual illness that started plaguing residents at the same time. From the first day the blobs appeared, people started getting sick with flu-like symptoms. People reported symptoms after contact with or near the gooey substance. It was also noted that some area animals also died after exposure, including frogs, birds, and cats. Yeah.
That's not good.
So it's not healthy goo, apparently. One resident reported being violently sick with fatigue and nausea. Another local woman was hospitalized for 3 days with an ear infection and difficulty breathing, while another woman reported collecting some of the blobs, then getting sick and having vertigo. In addition to that, some people reported having upper respiratory infections and collapsing. A sample of the goo was sent to the Hazardous Material Unit of the Department of Ecology of Washington State. Microbiologists noted that there were two strains of bacteria present, one of which commonly caused human digestive tract infections. Another scientist reported that numerous cells were found in a blob sample, but they couldn't identify the origin. At the time, there was a rumor that the blobs contained human white blood cells, but the scientists denied that claim as none of the cells in the sample contained a nuclei, and human immune cells would contain a nuclei. So there's all these rumors flying about it's got bacteria in it, it's got human immune cells, it's got all this different stuff, but there's not really any concise confirmation on what was contained in the goo. Everyone was at a loss for what the blobs were and where they came from. Some people believe that the blobs were parts of jellyfish, which cracks me up. Okay, so this is their idea. Because Washington is on the Pacific coast, and they thought that the Air Force was conducting bombing runs into the ocean 50 miles away from Oakville. And it gets better. They think that these bombing raids that the Air Force was doing caused parts of jellyfish to explode. Then fly up and get dispersed into the clouds, and then later get rained down on this little unsuspecting town of Oakville. So, yeah,
okay. Sure.
Obviously that concept has been unsubstantiated. Nobody really can go, yeah, there was a bombing raid and of course there were jellyfish in the ocean then, whatever. That one I think is like, I don't know where they came up with that, but another suggestion was that the gobs of goo were fluid waste from an airplane passing overhead. However, airplane waste would be blue, not clear. So that wasn't really the idea. But I can't imagine. I would not ever want to think it was airplane waste that was rained down all over everything. Some thought the blobs might be a result of top secret military biological weapon testing, but there's no evidence that would suggest this could be true. However, if it was top secret, you know, top secret stuff can stay top secret for a long time, potentially. Mm-hmm. Others suggested that the blobs didn't fall from the sky in the first place and that they were essentially oozed out from the soil. Some witnesses reported finding the blobs on the ground when they woke up in the morning. However, there were numerous witness accounts of the substance coming from the sky, like the police officer who was in his car. There's no way that something oozing up from the soil is going to land on his windshield. So
yeah,
that's not really a credible idea either. This phenomenon isn't unheard of. In fact, there have been reports of similar substances appearing in other parts of the world since the 14th century. The origins of those other accounts is not known either, but it has earned the nickname of star jelly or astral jelly. Legends say that star jelly falls from the sky during meteor showers, but the legends don't explain what the substance actually is. So again, who knows? Although no other accounts of star jelly falling from the sky have been noted, it has always been from the ground. So again, oozing up from the soil, not falling from the sky, even though it's supposed to be related to meteor showers. I don't know. There have been cases where reported star jelly was found and tested. In those cases, the jelly-like substance proved to be anything from amphibian eggs to algae to slime mold to crystals of sodium polyacrylate. which is a super absorbent polymer that has been found in things like diapers, medical bandages, insect water feeders, pet pads, you know, like the little pee pads for animals and stuff, bags that have been used to prevent flooding, and waterbeds. Those are just a couple things. So the sodium polyacrylate has been found when they have tested astral jelly in other circumstances, but it's also been tested that it was other things. And this time it was not that. So in theory, if the blobs didn't fall from the sky, it could be explained that they came from something as simple as a frog or a baby's diaper. But again, witnesses reported the jelly substance raining down on them. And those simple explanations of what the substance was wouldn't explain the health conditions reported by multiple people in town. Because remember, people got sick after they touched the goo. Mm-hmm. Star jelly has never been linked to any health conditions. So that doesn't really sound like an explanation of what this stuff was. Unfortunately, all the original blobs from Oakville are gone, and there are no known remaining samples. So the testing that was supposedly done can't be redone in today's scientific capacity. So even though scientific advances have been made since 1994, there are no samples to test. So unless the blobs reappear, the questions of what they are, what they, where they came from, it will likely never be answered. So who knows what happened in 1994 with these weird,
super weird
gelatinous blobs from the sky. So
I don't like that.
I know. Wouldn't that be, I mean, it rains a lot where you're at. So be careful if you go outside and it looks like there's rice sized gooey gobs.
Jelly.
Yeah. Okay. Yuck.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
All right. Well, let's talk about Craig Price.
Oh, Craig Price. Okay.
Craig Price was born in 1973, and he had a troubled childhood marked by violence and instability. Price showed signs of aggression from a young age and reportedly tortured animals, which is often seen as a red flag for future violent behavior. His home life was chaotic with allegations of abuse and neglect. Price liked petty theft and would often go to the store or market with no money in his pockets, but he always left with something. He got pretty good at stealing and would eventually try breaking into houses. On July 27th, 1987, Price was walking around his neighborhood late at night. Only two houses down lived 27-year-old Rebecca Spencer. Price would often sit outside her house and watch her, but today he had different plans.
I don't think those plans are going to be good plans, are they?
No, they're not.
No. Shit.
Price proceeded to break into Spencer's house. While it was unclear if he broke in to burglarize her home or if he had more nefarious intentions. When Price got inside, he made his way to her kitchen, where a majority of her belongings sat in boxes because she was getting ready to move. He grabbed a knife and proceeded to make his way upstairs, where he found Rebecca Spencer. She was shocked because she didn't expect anyone to be in her home, definitely not a 13-year-old boy holding a knife.
He was
13 years old. Yeah.
Oh my. Okay. Well, yeah. Wow. All right.
Wasn't expecting that. Yeah.
Nope.
Price stabbed Spencer 58 times, killing her.
Oh, wow. That's so many.
Yeah. Price ran from the home after collecting some items to steal. Police had no leads, so he remained undiscovered for the next 2 years. On September 4th, 1989, Marie Bouchard went to check on her daughter, Joan Heaton, after not receiving a call back for several days. She knocked and rang the doorbell several times with no answer. She even tried calling Joan again, but again got no response. She noticed Joan's car in the driveway, so she must not be far. She walked around the back and let herself in, but immediately froze as soon as the door was open. The walls were covered in blood, and a foul smell emanated from inside.
Oh, no.
She called the police, and what they discovered was horrific. Price, who was 15 at the time, had broken into the 39-year-old Joan Heaton's house. Again, it was unclear what his intentions were when he broke in.
Okay.
See, Lulu just rubbing on the mic stand.
Pay attention, because Lulu is rubbing her face on the mic. She's like, hey, what about me?
I want to
hear the story, too. Tell me about the slasher.
Again, it was unclear what his intentions were when he broke in. He was high on weed and LSD at the time and was caught off guard by three people inside the house. Joan Heaton and her two daughters, 10-year-old Jennifer and 7-year-old Melissa.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Joan was surprised when she saw the 15-year-old boy standing in her kitchen with a wild look in his eyes. Price made a beeline for the knife block and began stabbing Joan 57 times during the commotion. Jennifer and Melissa creeped downstairs and let out a scream once they saw their mother being killed.
Yeah.
Price turned towards the children and grabbed the eldest. He began stabbing her 62 times and only stopped when the knife blade broke in her neck.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know,
he then grabbed, this kid, he's 15. He then grabbed a second knife and started stabbing Melissa. Police felt that the stabbings were so brutal that the assailant must have cut their hand or gotten injured somehow. So they interviewed some people around the neighborhood with this in mind. When they got around to speaking with Price, they noticed he had a large gash on his hand. And when the police applied pressure in their investigation, Price confessed. He was arrested a month before his 16th birthday.
Wow.
Price was tried as a minor, so his court documents would be sealed, and he was set to be released when he turned 21.
No.
Yeah. This case led to a new law that allowed minors to be charged as adults for more serious crimes. But Price was not released at 21 because he racked up a number of charges while in prison that added 10 to 25 years to the 5 years he was set to serve.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
He didn't get out when he was supposed to, but that's good. Yeah.
Is he out now?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Is he alive still? I mean, he could totally be alive and being a horrible person anywhere. I don't like it.
He was denied parole in 2009, and his release date was set for May 2020.
Oh. Okay, well.
He's up for parole hearing in January 2027.
Okay.
So
he's still in jail. A decent amount of time added on then. Okay.
Yeah, because he.
What state was it?
Let me look real quick. Because he is in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And the other charges he racked up were refusing a psychological evaluation, extortion, threatening a corrections officer, assault, and violation of probation for fighting.
They should just add a bunch of stuff. Like, you didn't wear your pants in a certain way. Or you didn't part your hair on the right side today. And we told everybody that they had to do that just so that they can keep him in there. Because that is terrifying.
Yeah. Like, he was... The FBI declared him the youngest serial killer, like,
in the nation's history.
Yeah. I mean, technically, yes, he had over three victims, but it was two occasions. So three of those victims were, I mean, I see why they give the description, but it seems very spree. Yeah. Although the second one was 2 years later. So, yeah. Okay. Either way, whatever you want to call him, he's not a nice guy.
No.
Mm-mm. Let's make sure he doesn't breathe fresh air and do that again.
Yeah. Let's just keep him in there. He could be best for everybody. He's like 70 right now, so he doesn't have much longer, I don't think.
He's not 70. You said he was born in 1973.
Oh.
That's not 70.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He's 50, sorry.
Yeah. Ugh. I know it seems really old to be 50, but it's not that old, I promise. So what's your chaser today?
My chaser is a movie recommendation. It's not a great movie. Like, the acting isn't great. The plot isn't great. I enjoyed it, though. It's called Legion. Or Legion, sorry.
Legion.
It's like, yeah, it's like a... What? Apocalypse, like religious apocalypse. I think it's on Amazon. Okay. Yeah, so it's like kind of like the Rapture, and they have to... I don't want to spoil it, but it's like...
Okay.
It's pretty interesting.
I'm wondering if I started watching that and gave up on the acting portion, but I don't know.
Maybe. What's your chaser, Mom?
My chaser is... this is something that I don't think I saw. Like, there was a viral video that came about years ago. And there's... kind of a resurgence of it. So essentially, a PE coach decided over summer break in California that he wanted to motivate his cross-country athletes and track athletes to run over summer break. And to do that, they had to go to the area shelter, animal shelter, and take dogs on their runs with them.
Nice.
And so these high school kids, it started in California, and then when the video became viral, then other states started adopting it in different schools and stuff, so that it's not just the one, school, there's multiple schools that do this, and that they just pair up with their animal shelter, and then the kids go and pick up a dog and take the dog out running. But they found that it has helped with the adoptions for the shelter dogs, because it helps to wear the dogs out, so they're more calm when people come to view them, and then they get adopted easier.
That's cool.
And then in at least one case, one of the kids that was running with a dog, his family adopted the dog.
Yeah, I was gonna say it'd be hard not to.
That would be me. This is why your dad will not let me set foot near the animal shelter unless we are searching for a new animal, because we would have a secondary annex shelter at our house because I would adopt all of them. We'd have 25 cats, 35 dogs. It would just be chaos, and you know how like he is. It would be, yeah. And we don't live on enough land for me to justify having a farm worth of domesticated animals. So I just thought it was really cute that it's getting attention again for some reason, maybe because they've had a few years to look at like the statistics and stuff, and seeing that it's helping out the adoptions for these shelter dogs. So I think that's really cool. Our best dog was a shelter dog. So
yeah. Hero.
Hero. Yes. He was an awesome dog. So I think that wraps us up for the day.
Yeah, shorter episode today, but
yeah, go take care of your
I'm gonna go fix my finger.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, Mom.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye. Hey friends, thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.